Hello, humans. Welcome.
Hi.
To this special episode of Audio Face. I'm Dan.
I'm John.
Hi. And this is a special episode because next week, Beck is going to be releasing, I don't even count it, but he's made a lot of albums, but he's going to be releasing his newest album, Colors. It's the first one since Morning Phase, and Beck's first album came out in, I believe, what's the year? 1993. And so Beck has changed a lot since then, and there's a lot to go through, and so I decided, we're thinking that because Beck has this huge discography, we're going to experiment with this, pre-show, run-through for artists who, have long discographies that we haven't, talked
and
about.
And then artists that we really like and want you to get a sense of what they are before they release new shit.
Exactly.
So that you get a sense of what we're going to say on next podcast.
Yeah, because
that you need to listen to.
Absolutely. In addition to reviewing Beck, we'll also be talking about Wu-Tang Clan and Gucci Mane, so definitely listen to that. But we're going to be referencing a lot of Beck's older music, and so it's important that you understand that context. And also just, check out Beck, because I think he's an artist worth checking out, at least to some extent.
He's really good.
So, let's just do, a quick bio. So, Beck, real name Beck David Campbell, went just by Beck Hansen for a while, but just Beck, right? he's gone through a lot of different, phases. I guess most, what I think of him as, I think what most people would call Beck would be alternative rock.
Yeah, for the most part.
I think
he's also experimented with spoken word stuff and borderline rap and acoustic. He's, done it all.
His basically. Earlier years, in the 90s, were more, Wikipedia calls it anti-folk, but I kind of just call it,
anti-folk?
I basically...
Antifa?
Bees? No. The best way I can describe it respectfully is white trash rock and rap. No, but I don't mean that in a bad way, but Beck was trying to embrace that kind of trailer park, kind of ratchet aesthetic in Mellow Gold, which was the first album I heard of Beck. So kind of get into it. So Mellow Gold came out in 1994. Beck had two other albums that came out. I'm sorry. Golden Feelings and Stereopathic Soul Manure were Beck's first albums in 1993 and 1994. Those ones weren't, super popular, and he was, just kind of getting out there. But it, from what I remember of it, and, I didn't really listen to those too much, but it was just, this weird alt-rock kind of thing that was kind of making fun of Americana. It was kind of, making light at these, aspects of American culture, and that was just, how Beck kind of got onto the
his realms, own stuff, basically.
Yeah. There's Stereopathic Soul Manure, which is why I hadn't really heard it, because a week later, is that really true? A week later? That's a week later after Stereopathic Soul Manure released, his first quote unquote major label release, Mellow Gold, came out.
Mm-hmm.
So it just coolly got eclipsed by that, and it's weird because I hadn't heard that even since then, but Mellow Gold's definitely the first album I heard of.
Kind Beck's, of his first, official album, if that makes any sense.
It gave Beck his first hit, Loser.
Loser, which is a huge hit.
One of the songs of the 90s.
100%.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff in that album.
Yeah, and I think that Loser captures what I mean by, his style of, anti-folk or, trash rock, because it's, kind of grungy, it's kind of southern, it's got that twang to it, I guess, if you will, but it's still a very sophisticatedly produced song, so it's not meant to be disrespect at all. It's just trying to describe the aesthetic without having much to go off of. Other delightful songs on the album that you have up, Nightmare Hippie Girl, it's close to home, Beer Can. Beer Can's one of my favorites. I was just listening to it before just because it definitely hits that aesthetic they were going for, he was going for in the album, super perfectly.
Mm-hmm. And then we have...
I just want to say shout out to Beck because his first single was called MTV Makes Me Want to Smoke Crack.
In 93, it's already knowing that MTV was going down the shitter.
Yeah, that's how hot Beck came in. But yeah, go ahead and
continue. So then you had Odile?
No, One Foot in the Grave.
One Foot in the Grave? Was that before?
Yeah.
Sorry, it was before.
Yeah, so One Foot in the Grave was... It was actually... It's weird. It was recorded before Mellow Gold and wasn't released till after, because it was recorded on an independent label. Or not because, but, like, it was recorded on an independent label, kind of like Stereopathic Soul Manure. So it's a little bit separate from, like, the Beck regular things. But,
okay.
It's super complicated. Basically, it's an album that's kind of even preceding Mellow Gold that came out afterwards.
Okay.
But it even got, like, a reissue sometime in, like, the 2000s. And it's a really nice way to kind of see Beck's older style in that.
Right.
Now we can continue on to Odelay.
Now there's Odelay. Which was kind of the first album I really listened to Beck.
Right.
I guess, because obviously you hear Loser, but I never really got into it. But the first one that I really dove into was Odelay when I was a kid, basically. You have Devil's Haircut, you have Derelict, whatever.
New Pollution?
No, after New Pollution.
Hot Wax. Derelict,
there we go. God damn it. I've never been able to say that because, you know, I could barely speak English as is. That was the first one that introduced me to Beck, really, and I liked it a lot. And then, ever since then, it's been, like, every album has been, since then, like, what are you getting from? And I really like that.
Every album's been a bit of a grab bag. Beck kind of followed, I would say, kind of a Radiohead-ish kind of continuation, in the sense where, like, he started out as one thing, and commercially it was successful, but commercially it was kind of hell for him. Because Beck got this, like, he got kind of, like, railed by the media, or at least, like, the music, like, the music critic media, there we go. He got kind of railed by them for being fake, or, like, not really being who he is genuinely. His whole, like, loser shtick, people just weren't really into, or at least the critics weren't really into at the time. And Beck described it as, like, feeling like he was constantly trying to prove himself, and, like, wanted to prove that he was more than, like, a one-hit wonder. And so he had that kind of chip on his shoulder kind of going in afterwards. It's definitely weird. You're a new person. You're definitely not mainstream, although, like, this almost, like, post-grunge kind of vibe that Mellow Gold had is, like Loser being a mainstream hit that it was, definitely defied a lot of odds, but wasn't too out of whack, I guess. But definitely, Loser was such a smash hit that it would leave someone like Beck with, like, an axe to grind, with something to prove.
Yeah, and then he was only known for that at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, exactly like with One-Hit Wonders, and he's like, I don't want to be a One-Hit Wonder.
Right.
Basically.
Odelay, I'm trying to look at how Odelay did. It did pretty well in the charts, actually.
I heard it a lot.
Double platinum.
Yeah.
We did really well around the world, and yeah, it kind of proved that, like, Beck is not just, like, a one-trick pony, which is really great. Mutations. How did you feel about that album?
First off, what year is Mutations?
Mutations would have been,
Odelay was...
Mutations was 1998.
98? Okay, yeah, 2 years after. I don't remember too much of Mutations because I don't listen to it now.
To be honest, me neither. I think I listened to it one through, and
because it was hard because Midnight Vultures came out right after, and that's one that we've both listened to a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Because, yeah, definitely in this early time, especially compared to now, Beck was producing a lot of music very quickly. And I think that maybe
just rapidly.
And, you know, it's like here and there, like, Mellow Gold did pretty well. Odelay also did, like, kind of cut up for that. The other three albums, which were kind of before Beck's time, I guess you could say, didn't, but I guess we wouldn't count that.
Let's not count that.
Mutations was the first, like, kind of iffy one. I'm looking at the track list, and I guess I saved a couple of these in here for some playlist, but, the album just wasn't too special to me. It's this odd middle point, and to be honest, this is kind of how I feel about, let me get this down correctly,
of what?
The Bends is right. The way I feel about Mutations is kind of how I feel about The Bends, is that it's, as its own album, like, alright, but it's more like, it's the intermediary between two different eras.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
It's the intermediary.
The bridge to the other side, basically. Yeah,
it's before, like, Beck went from this, like, grungy 90s thing to kind of just all over the place. And which then brings us to Midnight Vultures.
Which is Midnight Vultures, which is whatever he wanted to do, where you had Nicotine and Gravy, which is, holy hell, that's a good song. We just listened to it right now. It was funny because I forget that the album cover is that, and I looked at it, I go, Midnight Vultures, what the hell?
Midnight Vultures.
And I
listened
to it, I go, oh, this album, idiot. I know what this is.
If I could start a band, I'd call it Midnight Vultures.
Right? That'd be a really cool band name, not gonna lie.
Yeah, but there are so many, like, this is one of the first Beck albums that, like, I wasn't really picking and choosing songs. I was really listening to it all through, and I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Charts-wise, I need to check how it did, but some of my favorite songs on there, I mean, like, most of them. Sex Laws, I really liked. Nicotine and Gravy is just a classic. Hollywood Freaks is probably my favorite song on the album. And
Hollywood Freaks is pretty good.
Yeah, Hollywood Freaks on the Hollywood scene. I love it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was getting the charts up for that. It did better than Mutations, 743,000 copies, so it got certified gold. And yeah, it was released in 99.
Yeah.
And so
then after that, he took a
He took a good break, which I think definitely was, like, deserved, and
he made Sea Change, which I love. It's a Sea Change.
Now, before you go into this, this is a good example of a musician taking some time, stepping back from what they're doing, figuring out their sound, and then, like,
trying something different.
Reinventing and coming back.
Because Sea Change is all acoustic, pretty much. I mean, The Golden Age is the opening track on Sea Change. Is one of my favorite Beck songs. That and End of the Day is pretty damn good. Sunday Sun is really good. I liked it for acoustic. I know Dan didn't like it too much.
Yeah.
But I loved it. From what I remember when I listened to it, even my dad and I really liked that.
The general vibe with Beck songs is I tend to like the more upbeat ones, and the kind of slower ones I'm not too much of a fan of, but I still admire them for their, like, production quality. I would say. And that's, like, kind of my bias going into it. So Sea Change didn't really, like, go on my radar too much, but I do admire, like, how nice it sounds acoustically as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Güero.
Which...
spelled Guero for the gringos out there.
And then E-Pro was the opening track on that, which just, boom.
When E-Pro came out, I think that really solidified Beck. And, like, with Güero, because, like, people don't really know this, like, album Güero on its own, but some of the albums and some of the songs that came from this album solidified Beck as an alternative rock staple.
Yeah, and really somebody to, you never knew what you were getting from him.
Yeah, because, like, that point, you were expecting, like, the loser guy, but no, it's not at all, like, what he made in the 90s. And at that point, Güero came out in 2005. That would have been, like... more than 10 years since Mellow Gold.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a lot of evolution. And really, like I said, around Midnight Vultures is where Beck gets super interesting to me. But Güero's amazing. What songs did I like? Yeah, E-Pro, Que Onda Güero, Girl's Black Weird. Tambourine, Hell Yes. There's a remix of Hell Yes, and I forget. It's on Güero Lito, which was a remix album. It's called Ghetto Chip Malfunction. And I love that remix of it. I was even my ringtone for a while. Like, I dig that song heavy.
And then you have The Year After, which is The Information.
Which is truly my favorite Beck album.
Which is just, as my favorite thing, which is experimental. Do something weird and try it. And that's this entire album. It's just electronic. It's weird. He was trying different sounds. I mean, it's 06, so
it's 06 electronic alternative rock.
Yeah.
It's that mix. It's like... You know, it matches perfectly with what was alternative back then. Like, Demon Days had just come out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely an alternative rock album, but had a lot of synths, had a lot of keyboards. And mm-hmm. It was, like, layered in the background of the song. Not overstated, but just as one of the other instruments.
Yes.
Which is what I think it should, like, lean more towards. But
so you have We Dance Alone and Suffolk Instead, which are our two favorites on that album.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
shit.
Motor... So, on one of our favorite shows, From the Basement, a show that, I forget where it airs usually, but these artists just come VH1 to...
VH1 or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, these artists just go to this, like, special studio in a basement somewhere. I forget who has it, but...
And they record live.
Yeah, and they just record live sets. And so Beck's Information sessions from the basement were really nice.
Holy crap.
They did a really nice version of Motorcade, and And the horrible fanfare. Yeah, and Cell Phone's Dead.
And the craziest thing is you could sell, Beck did some damn good spoken word in there too. Like, this just randomly opened up, like, damn.
So this is the album that Beck did a lot of his, like, rapping, like, spoken word kind of thing. That, yeah, it's definitely not like, oh, this is not near the other rap of the day, right? Like,
no,
but Beck, stay in your lane. But, like, it's different, and I like the spoken wordedness. Beck has his own flow, if you will, that is definitely unique, and it works well with his music. I don't get the sense, like, when he's rapping, he's, like, trying to be a rapper.
Mm-mm.
He's just doing spoken word in his own kind of, like, quick, irreverent, really, like, subtly witty way. And that's what really comes out on this album. I really appreciate the information for that.
Video of Modern Guilt.
Right, Modern Guilt, yeah. And the information, that's when... So, after Wero, that's... Other than, Odelay and Mellow Gold, that's where Beck, as far as, like, mainstream, kind of started to dip down.
Yes,
as far as sales
big
go.
Time.
The information, because it was experimental by nature, which even then it was a great album and definitely one of Beck's best, in my opinion. That experimentalness, just, it didn't sell super well. Modern Guilt was right after that.
Mm-hmm.
And Modern Guilt, for me, was a lot more low-key of an album. I didn't like it as much, but some of the songs that came from it...
Some of the songs were big. Were some of his biggest songs.
Gamma Ray. Like, Modern Guilt itself.
Those were just top charters. You know? Yeah. Like, just everywhere in the radio. And, yeah, just pumped it out.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting how that happens. That's more of an alternative album compared to The Information. So it just shows you, like, the evolution of him, because he goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And speaking of the back and forth, you go from...
Well, before we move on, I just want to say that Modern Guilt was, like, as far as tempo goes, because that's another thing I love paying attention to, mm-hmm. Modern Guilt was definitely, like, a lower tempo, like, held back album. Ways. Like, Gamma Ray had, like, definitely had, like, wasn't totally downbeat, but it was this beginning of Beck to kind of go down into more, like, slower, soulful kind of things, as opposed to kind of the, like, fast-pacedness of Wero or The Information, if you get what I mean.
Right.
It starts to go a little more down-key.
Yeah, and then after that you go to his latest album.
Morning Phase.
Which goes back to the acoustic stuff that he did in Sea Change.
Modern Guilt came out in July of 2008,
and Morning Phase
came out in February of 2014. So again... A lot of time for Beck, too. And he wasn't, like... I remember this time pretty decently. He wasn't totally silent.
He was doing tours, and he was doing different appearances.
He was touring a little bit, appearances a little there, but, like, not too much. He was definitely kind of going into his, like, own little things, I guess. But, yeah, Morning Phase comes out. I remember it's... You can buy the CD in every single Starbucks in the world.
Seriously. It was good. I liked it. It took me a while to get into it because I wasn't expecting an acoustic album. But, I mean, Blue Moon is one of my favorite songs of the past 5 years, probably.
Sang a lot.
It's such a good song. When that was released, I go, holy crap. He's like, Beck still has it. The album as a whole was just solid. It wasn't anything special. It was kind of like Sea Change, where I liked it a lot. But... I want to see more experimental, more upbeat stuff in that way. But that's just personal preference.
I think the issue I have with Beck, which is like a blessing and a curse, is that because you'd never know what to expect from your music, from his music, you oftentimes set these unrealistic expectations.
Exactly.
And I find myself doing this with the upcoming album, but coming back to Morning Phase just specifically, when I think of Beck, I still very much think about not necessarily as experimental as The Information, but still... Like, you know, fun and quirky and this. And this Beck, Morning Phase Beck and Sea Change Beck, is more reflective, like, kind of
deep,
sort of calm.
Thought woke.
Deep. Kind of, right? Not to say, like, woke's in, like, any sort of political knowledge per se. Just using this as a joke. But, like,
it is a joke.
But, like, it's a deeper, more emotional side to him. And some albums lean heavily in one direction, like that. That's, like, my direction. And some lean heavier in the Morning Phase Sea Change direction.
Yeah.
All in all, it's great work. It's just, that's why I was really lukewarm about Morning Phase. It always gave me this kind of, like, okay, this is, like, low-key Beck. This is kind of, like, Sea Change. This is, this is kind of, like, what... I guess Beck is going towards, because the album before that was kind of low-key, and then it continued to be even more and more low-key, and so...
But then lately, all of his singles and stuff have been the polar opposite. Like,
so wait, before we go to the singles, I do want to point out, like, that Beck won a Grammy for Morning Phase.
He did.
And like, I Morning was Phase upset.
Like, got big, and no one expected that.
Yeah. Really? It was a whole upset, because I want to... I'm looking for Album of the Year. I'm looking for Album of the Year, and... Kanye West thought, like, Beyonce should have, like, won it, and there's this whole other things. Pharrell was... So there the issue was, I forget all the names, but I think Beyonce and Pharrell and a bunch of other people were nominated for Album of the Year. Oh,
that's right, because Girl was out from Pharrell,
yeah,
too, and there's a lot of good albums that year. He just was the super underdog.
Yeah, and, the like, that threw everyone for a loop, because, like, people who had known of Beck were like, oh, yeah, Beck won a Grammy. Like, I think he's... You know, that's good for Beck.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who hadn't heard him, especially because compared to the artist he was going from Album of the Year, like, generationally, it was just so different.
Yeah, especially because he's not mainstream.
Yeah, he's not Pharrell Williams, nor is he Beyonce.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he's many things. He's very talented, a great musician, but he's neither of those. And that's what he was going up against for Album of the Year. And so for the mainstream, it was very shocking that Beck won, but, like, that's kind of how, that's kind of how it works. It's a committee of people who choose, and... It was kind of like a split vote.
Yeah.
But with that, he kind of jumped out of that. And since then, Beck has been very promising for my side of things. The side that likes the super, like, fast-paced, up and peppy Beck. Because the first single that came out was Dreams in 2015.
Which was on FIFA.
Soundtrack. Yeah, and it's just this, like, peppy, happy, crazy, like, wild rock song. And then WOW came out in 2016.
To make fun. fun of rap culture, basically, and fun of music culture in general.
Yeah.
But it ended up being a good song.
Yeah, Talkie Monster did a remix of WOW. She did. I didn't know that, actually.
That's really dope.
I'll have to listen to that. That's really dope. And then there have been a couple singles coming out, because Beck has now announced that Colors, the album that's coming out next week, was a thing. And so since then, before we listened to these... singles, because, well, A, there was no audio face, there was no rule, but Beck hadn't announced that he was even doing an album. We just kind of took these singles as they were, like,
yeah.
Beck didn't say he's doing anything, but hey, here's a new Beck song, and
it's good.
In my opinion, other than Morning Phase, one of the best Beck song Beck has made in 10 years were some of these singles.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And they actually became pretty mainstream, too, which I was surprised.
Yeah.
That Beck would put out something like that, but it's not bad mainstream.
Right.
By
mainstream as in, like...
People like it.
People listen to it and like it and can recognize it.
And it's on the radio, and it's not overplayed, either.
Yeah.
It's in fucking FIFA, too. Which...
Yeah.
Like, he has, like, three damn songs in each... The past three FIFAs, I go, God damn it, Beck.
Yep, and that all leads to, this week, when we get to listen to Colors. To it,
and then we'll let you know, but... Just want to give you a little quick discography.
Oh, also, Beck's a Scientologist.
Yeah. Let's not get into that. My shit on my podcast. Ah!
And that's where we go no politics and hit the brakes.
It's like tempted to just cut now.
Right? No, but thank you for listening to this special edition of Audio Face where we kind of go through back. Let us know if you like these episodes because
we'd love a little information.
Yeah, we'd love to. A little bit of the information. I love to give these deep dives into artists, especially that I have. A decent amount of passing interest and like I learned a little bit researching for this but I knew a little bit now and I've been listening to Beck for years and so kind of like having followed him from I can't say from the beginning because Mellow Gold came out before we even actually Mellow Gold came out like
94
two years to the date before I was born.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so it's not like I've been listening to him forever. Like, I've been listening to Beck for a while and I've been a fan of his for a while and I've been following that music and so it's nice to be able to share that and talk about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, with that, definitely listen to the next episode of Audio Face when it drops on Sunday. We'll be talking about Beck, Wu-Tang, Gucci Mane, and other fun musical things that are happening that we either aren't talking about right now or just simply don't know of. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. See you later.
Cheers.